The boogie monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
So I think it was the last full moon, because there's a full moon right now. So I did a meditation last night, but I didn't like blast off nearly as far. I was just trying to connect with my inner child or something last night. So it was, I was pretty interesting. But
what does that mean? People like say that. I never know.
Well, there's like a it's like a spiritual guide. That's, you know, like a part of you. Okay. That's like a child.
I don't
child,
think I've left child inner is. Child behind at any point. I don't think I've ever been like, I think I've been connected. I just went on a bike ride today and then I was just looking at camping gear. Like, who go camping? Like, oh, that's, I don't
that might be what your inner child likes or like your,
I don't know why
your,
it's inner child. Children. It's just me. I don't have any, when it's outward adult shit that I have to do, like, oh, I got to look at this bill for the automobile club. You know, I got AAA renter's insurance. Like, I don't even know what these words mean. And I just throw it in the trash. So I'm like, yeah, when I'm like inner child, like you have to go play. I'm like, I do that all the time.
Well, I mean, I guess the foundation of this is like a is like an assumption of believing in spirit guides as well. So, I mean, if that's not something you're into, then like that kind of,
well, I don't know if I'm into it. I think veers off. What we're going to learn.
Well, so like I'm kind of getting into all this stuff, right? Like in a deeper level. And cause I have like this shaman who's a Reiki healer. And I've gone to a couple of her meditations that are kind of like empath classes to try to like tap into your psychic abilities.
Yeah.
And so I'm doing last month during the last full moon, I go into this meditation and I'm listening to music and I, you know, I got a list. I'm doing like some magic shit, you know? And, so I'm trying to manifest stuff and I blast off into like these visuals of images. I see myself at a book signing in the future.
All right.
Like having a great time. And then
you're
I see
the author of the book.
I'm the author of the book. And that'd be funny though if I'm
that was
like,
my question.
No, man, just, the new Harry Potter came out.
Yeah, man, I'm manifesting myself just buying a ticket to an event.
I saw the future. We can make it's that me happen. Hanging out at Barnes and Nobles. Yeah.
That's not so difficult. And then I saw myself as this super really old man. Like really old, like we're talking like mid to late 80s, sitting on a park bench with a cane. And I was trying to look at my left hand to see if I ever gotten married. And I just couldn't get there. I couldn't see the hand. And then I saw myself as a woman breastfeeding a child.
Yeah.
And this is the part you're really going to like. But here's the thing, the weird thing about that. I was the woman.
Okay.
And it wasn't a past life and it wasn't a future life. It was simultaneous, concurrent with this life, meaning
parallel universe.
Meaning, I'm like kind of grooving into this idea that our soul, our spirit, or whatever, our consciousness is like can be multiple places at once, and we're multiple people at the same time. Currently, like I believe that it was a simultaneous person that I am also living this other life currently right now. It's the same
like
as this
parallel
one.
Universe
or that
but,
you theoretically
but that
could
kind
bump
of
into
but right here like
here.
I could run into yeah I could oh, run into this okay. person.
By the way, if you didn't already guess, Ryan Singer is our guest today on the Boogie Monster.
What's up, boogers?
How you doing, buddy?
Right, that's what I say, right?
I wish people wouldn't call themselves that.
I said it.
Dave loves it. I'm like,
Dave loves it.
Like you should love yourself.
Just from
more.
The kitchen and the record room, I know that it's boogers. Also, anyway, so then I'm having this crazy emotional experience meditating, and I'm surrounded by crystals and you know candles and. And next thing you know, I try to connect with like the my higher self.
All right.
Separates from my body. And I'm like in space, floating in space, connected with roots that go to the center of the earth that I've grown from my body, right, to ground me. And I'm like spinning up into space. And then my higher self separates from my body. Looks like a Tron.
Yeah.
You know, like Tron, like those colorful neon outlines of figures. That's what my higher self is. And then my higher self takes me on a journey.
Okay.
To the tower of my life, and we go to this dark, tall, huge tower stone, and we're going up the spiral staircase.
Who's we?
Me and the higher self.
Oh, okay.
So the higher self's kind of guiding me.
And I missed the beginning of this because I wasn't listening. Is this a dream you had?
This is a meditation.
Meditation.
On the last full moon.
Gotcha.
And so the craziest meditation I've ever had. And as we're walking up the tower, I understand that these are the rooms of my life as well.
Okay. Tell me where you're at the healer when you're doing that?
No, this is just me at home.
Just at home.
This is me at home.
Just in your room?
I'm just like, I'm kind of like sitting down on my bed. I'm like laying down on my bed with my reading pillow behind me. So I'm kind of like,
okay,
my back's angled, but I'm kind of laying down very comfortable.
I just fall asleep. So I don't know how to find that middle ground of like exploring that without just being like, oh, I'm asleep now.
Well, that's not the worst thing that can happen.
No, I'm never upset, but I'm like this, like you're talking about finding your higher self.
Well, yeah, I've had to, like, I've really had to experiment with the variables too, because I need, if I'm wearing headphones with some good music from like YouTube or something, like one of these meditation music videos, that helps me a lot.
YouTube? Want to see the fifth dimension?
Are you familiar with Andy Milonakis?
Is
that his name? Yeah. Is that the kid's name? I listen to Andy Milonakis while I'm meditating. Like so the music helps me.
So
I can't sit quietly.
Down on rollerblades.
Are you sitting quietly when you do it? Like just trying to like, you know, be thoughtless or whatever they say?
Usually, or it'll happen in a place where maybe sleep is, like if you're on an airplane with like, I finally invest in like the noise canceling headphones, which those are amazing. But on an airplane, like, oh, I can't just like sprawl out and get comfortable. But you start to let your mind go a little bit and it's not quite sleep because you know you're in a middle seat or something, you're bumping into people, but then you can like, oh yeah, but my mind is not here right now. So, but I didn't mean to interrupt. You were ascending a tower.
Well, no, I think it's important. Like, I always thought there was one way to try to meditate. You had to be quiet and you had to, but then through experimentation, I found out my best way to do it.
That's why I just wondered, what's the environment when you do it?
Yeah. So I'm just in my room. The lights are out. I mean, I've got some like, all of the lights in my room now are different colors. There's no longer, there's only one white light in my room, really. And so I've got a bunch of, probably 10 candles lit, burned some incense. I'm surrounded by crystals.
Is this at night?
It's at night. It's a full moon is out.
I was going to say, if it's a full moon, what if you do this stuff during the day? It's still a full moon.
Yeah, you could do it during the day. You could do it during the day. Most people probably do.
All right.
And so I'm going through the tower. We're going up the steps of the tower of my life, and I'm seeing all the rooms. And it's obvious, you know, the metaphor is pretty clear once I get through it. But these are all the, like, have I made room for anything in my life? And all these rooms are empty. And it's so fucking sad, right? Yeah. So I'm like, there's multiple times where I was like weeping during this meditation. And I see that all the rooms are empty in the tower of my life because I haven't made room for anybody. And there's this one room that's got like a onesie of a little girl. And I like pick it up and I like bring it to my face, you know, like you see people do. And I immediately knew that I have a missed connection with like a daughter. And I don't know what that means. Like if I was, you know, I was supposed to maybe have a daughter already in this life, or I do have a daughter currently that I don't know about.
Is there any chance that that could be?
There's definitely a chance that I have a daughter out there from sperm bank donations or through, you know, sex when I was younger.
Why don't you use sperm bank donations first, not just sex?
Well, because of the Troy Conrad story. You heard the Troy Conrad story.
No.
He's like, he's this great photographer here in town, but he's also a comedy guy, but like I think he's mostly just doing photography now. But he reconnected with two of his daughters. They reached out to him through 23andMe or whatever it was, and they're like grown, graduated college, but one's a photographer and this other one's an artist. It's like,
was
it's
he really, completely unaware that he
was
had
completely unaware, but he was sperm bank.
Oh, I thought there was like laws in place that they can't.
Well, 23andMe and all those DNA testings, they've totally, it's like those laws, there's no way to, everybody can find everybody now.
So you've donated?
One sitting there and I'm scared to do it.
Oh, the results?
Yeah.
Or the test itself?
The scan, you know, you're giving, it's that.
You already sent yours in?
No, I haven't. I've got the box. My mom got it for me for Christmas and I'm like, I don't want to give my.
Yeah, I haven't done.
I don't know why I got this hang up because I read, this like everything. I read one thing where like, they're going to take your information. And it'll be like thought crimes. It'll be like minority. Like,
see, I'm the same way with that. But then someone told me once, like, if you don't think they already got your DNA, you're fucking crazy. And I was like, oh, I didn't think about that.
Or like every spy movie, if they want it, this is like, yeah, oh, just grab a cup out of the garbage after you drink out of it. Like, you're going to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan, have you donated to sperm banks?
When I was younger.
Yeah.
Just a couple times because you're not allowed to jerk off at all in between donations. They don't tell you that. Like, oh, you can make money donating sperm, but it's like you're not allowed to have orgasm to completion in between donations.
How long
between? It's like 48. It's like 48 to 72 hours is like, because you can't donate every day.
Well, you couldn't pump the brakes for 2 days.
Yeah, just take it easy.
That's your whole life now. If you're counting on that as your income,
Gotta go to work.
Gross. How much money do you get?
I don't even remember. It was like $75 or something.
$75 a kid.
Yeah.
Man.
Think of all the money I've been wasting.
Yeah, I've been throwing money down the toilet, literally.
How do you feel about the concept of donating to a sperm bank and then 20 years later somebody reaching out? I would not like that.
I don't know how.
They can't legally ask you for money or anything, right? They can't.
No,
of course not.
But except for the fact that, like, oh, hey, you're my dad.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow, and now I'm in trouble. Then you're gonna like not.
No, no, thanks. No.
But if but you don't know. Like, what if that happened? What if you meet that person?
Well, from the people, there's a couple people I know that have this has happened to, and they've been thrilled about it.
I got a receipt says you're not my kid.
I don't know. Part of me wants to know.
I would not want to know. I thought when you were first bringing that up, I meant like in real life. Have you ever like
thought I had a kid?
I don't know if I ever told you this story. Long story short, I was with this gal for 3 years. We broke up. Yeah. The last night we were together, some stuff went down. Didn't see her for 5 years.
Oh.
Ran into her at a restaurant. She goes, I got a kid. And I'm like, how old? 5. And like for like 30 seconds, I thought this was the, hey, guess what? Knock, knock. I got news for you. And like she saw the fear in my eyes and she goes, oh, no, it's not yours. It's this other. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because like for that 5 years, we literally had zero contact. Like last night together, out with a bang.
Yeah.
No contact whatsoever for 5 years until I ran into her randomly.
There'd be so many emotions simultaneously happening. For me, like if a kid showed up, I'd be like excited. I have this kid. And then I'd be like really upset that I wasn't told that I had this kid. And then I'd probably be like falling in love with this kid instantly. Like cause just on a biological level, knowing that
That's what I'm saying. If a kid like, that's your half of me. That's.
I'd want to know for sure. I wouldn't be mad if they showed up.
I had a hookup text me just once like, hey, happy Father's Day, just in case.
Ugh, and I was like, not funny.
It was not, but also it really is.
Yeah.
also, that was a great joke. It scared the shit out of me. But I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I'm just kidding. I'm like,
it's
very funny, except that you did it to me, so it's not funny.
Yeah.
But in the world, that's a very, very funny thing. And especially Father's Day was yesterday, so you could have texted that.
Yeah. When I was younger, I was like, I'm going to send some unsigned Happy Father's Day cards to some of my friends and then just have it say, like, you know who, as like signed, you know who,
cool.
And just send it to them with no return address or nothing. But I never ended up doing that.
This is not the same thing at all, but just as far as anonymous pranks, my buddy used to have like an open air Jeep and people knew where he lived, so they would drive by at night and throw kids' underpants in him. So he would go out there in the morning and go to work, and people would like walking by like, you fucking creep. But also it's not, but it kind of is.
Yeah, yeah. I always get so much anxiety on a prank that I can only let it last for about 15 seconds.
I don't take joy in like...
No.
Watching somebody squirm.
Yeah.
Like
if I prank anybody within 15 seconds, I'm telling them it was me.
Fun. It's like, like a surprise party. Surprise. Oh, you didn't know. Okay, good. Okay. We're all out. We're all fine.
But anyway.
So you ascended the tower of your life.
And I realized all my rooms were empty.
You're going to be alone.
And then I realized I had to light a candle in each room.
All right.
So like people would know that they could come home to my life or whatever. So I light the candle on top of the tower and then I'm getting ready to go down and light the other rooms. And then my higher self just takes me and zaps me, and we fucking...
And you achieved all this just by being quiet and concentrating.
Yeah, it was probably about an hour and 15 minutes. No.
Jeez. Mm-mm. I just don't have the mental capacity for this.
Well, there's
drugs that led up to this. How old are you?
42.
Yeah, there's... Trust me.
There's a cachet.
There's a collection.
There's a cachet in there.
Uh-huh.
But that was, I've been meditating for, I've been trying to meditate for a long time now, though, too.
It's going to taste like that a little bit, you know? This shit's always going to taste like pot roast for a while.
It's like when McDonald's cooks the apple pies and the french fries in the same fryer. These fries taste like apple.
Yeah, there's probably some of that happening. Yeah, there's probably some of that. I mean, because I can get to places now a little quicker than I used to. Also, depending on my diet, if I'm like meat free and if I'm like meat free and refined sugar free, like I was on this recent trip I took for this paranormal documentary a friend of mine was making. I was like,
oh, that was just a few weeks ago.
I was tuned up. Yeah, it was like last week.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about today.
Oh, okay. I was like, I almost went on. That doesn't mean anything. I almost went on that, and I didn't go on it. So
there was. Oh, yeah. So do you want me to tell what happened
we'll
on
get
there?
We can get into it, yeah. But as far as like the stuff that like I can bump myself, like I haven't done a ton of mushrooms, but I'm done enough where like I can bump myself into like I can magic eye poster myself into like a the floor's going under the wall. Look at you. All right. Just for a little bit, like not a full like, but not, you know, how people have acid flashbacks or anything, but I can bump myself into a little like them lines aren't supposed to.
Yeah. If I get a candle flickering on the shadow on the ceiling now, yeah. I swear to God, and I know it's, well, I don't know if it's real or if it's not real anymore, but I feel like I can almost see through the ceiling now into space, really? Like, or into like if I get the right shadow flickering, I can like almost see through everything that is what we believe to be real. Does that make sense?
That was one of my last Joshua trees. I was laying out in the dirt staring at the sky so much that I laid down in bed inside and I only saw sky. I couldn't see. Like, I only saw, I'm like, oh, yeah, that star, that was my favorite one. That one's over there, but it was just imprinted on my mind.
Do you name them? Did you name them?
Like, I would like, just get,
hey,
like,
that's Terry.
Have you ever stared at the sky so much Bobo. You're kind of bored? You're like, do something. I mean, we've been hanging out here. I'm watching you guys. I'm like, I'm starting to see, like, oh, that's got to be that. You know, you start making up your own constellations.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because it is so arbitrary.
That one's a turkey pot pie. Like, no, like
I've never gone there.
I don't know how you guys are seeing bulls and dragons and shit.
That one looks like a candied apple.
I think I'm just hungry. I think this is wearing off and I've actually got my appetite back. What's going on? Mm. Are you hungry?
Are you thinking about food now?
Right now, yeah, where'd you go?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Spiritually hungry?
Yeah. No, I went camping this week, and I got some stories to tell. I might save it till next week.
But ooh, a teaser.
I got a...
Tent camping?
Just car camping.
Yeah, you don't have a van anymore.
Yeah.
You're just chilling in the car. How was that?
It was all right. Got to sleep diagonally.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
That is like I'm such an idiot. It took me years to realize that I was sleeping in my car for years at rest stops and places like that. And it took me years to realize that if I just move over to the passenger side, I have more room because of the steering wheel. And I was just like, I had that revelation at a rest stop in like New Mexico one night. And I was like, holy shit, oh my God, it's changed my life. And if you take your shoes off.
Meditate on some common sense there, buddy.
Oh my God. I feel like you should make... You remember those Chicken Soup for the Soul books? I feel like you should have, like, fried chicken for this.
Oh, man. You're so stupid.
I am pretty stupid.
Get yourself a little hammock. They roll up in the size of a softball.
Oh, yeah.
I can't sleep in a hammock.
No?
Trick is, that is also a diagonal thing. You want to go front to back, and then you're bending like a banana. You want to get diagonal in the hammock, and that's how it stabilizes itself so you're more flat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't even really consider... I mean, I could sleep in a hammock indoors.
Well, that defeats
the purpose. What fun is that?
Well, I mean, I'm just... I can't imagine myself exposed, like, in such a way to the elements.
You're not... Oh, really? You don't want to just freak out for a night?
No.
Okay.
You don't ever sleep outdoors?
Well, I have a bunch of times, but I don't. I'm not in a space currently, like right now in this moment, to even consider it.
Why.
And you know why.
Should we just go ahead and get into the story? Now, Kyle, you have no idea what he's about to tell us.
I don't. I can get another round of beers. Yeah. You guys are really okay prepping me for some.
Yeah, it's a good story.
For some stuff.
I'm okay on the beer right now.
You want a beer?
But, sure.
Dave?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm listening. I'm just stepping over.
But I guess I should preface it by saying.
Yeah, set it up however you want to set it up.
Do we need to do any episode shit? We don't have things that we have
It's
to
the
tell
Boogie
people.
Monster. Yeah. That's yeah. It. There you go.
Fucking buy Mac Weldon's shitty underpants.
We'll do all that later.
Quick. Wait. Is that like Will Weldon's brother? Selling. Yeah, we're trying to help. Well, so to set it up, this guy I know, a buddy of mine, who's a big He's a big Bigfoot guy. Mm-hmm. His name's is a big Bigfoot guy. His name is Ed Brown.
Uh-huh.
And he set up.
How do you know Ed?
I know Ed through his girlfriend Claudia Ackley, who's a Bigfoot person as well, who I've interviewed for. She had a sighting in Lake Arrowhead, and I've gone out there a couple times to go look around.
Oh, is that the lady in Lake Arrowhead that she saw him in the tree?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I've gone out, and I've actually sat in that same spot with Ed, my buddy Alex Mistretta, and Claudia, trying to see if we could get any activity out there.
I went out looking for that location the week I burned my girlfriend's father's cabin to a ground.
I could just tell you where it is next time you're there. If you ever want to know again, I'll give you the coordinates or whatever, and I can take you there guide you there anyway. So I met Ed through all that. And
I'm looking for Bigfoot. Started a dang forest fire. Oops.
My bad.
Oh, I could smoke him out of there. That's
all right.
So what happens is Ed has access to a location in Florida that is, the way he described it to me was, it's like the new Skinwalker Ranch.
And I know there's a few of these details you can't really.
Yeah, and because it's his project, it's his documentary, and not to mention there's other things.
One detail that I'm thinking of.
There's a couple things I cannot discuss.
Can you talk about the location?
I can talk about the location.
Okay, it's in Florida.
Yeah, it's in Florida.
What city?
It is about 45 minutes outside of Tallahassee.
I mean, can you say the town? I know the town, but can you say the town, or do you want
to? Well, it's close to. It's not exactly the city, but it's real close to Chattahoochee. And Chattahoochee has like so much cool history when it comes to.
Yeah.
And
the Panhandle of Florida is interesting, man, because you got the ocean one way. You got
Chattahoochee River.
You got the river. You got Georgia's 20 minutes away. Alabama's right there. Like. Yeah. I don't know. The Florida Panhandle.
There's a lot going on in this area too because of the War of 1812. There's a lot of bloodshed.
Oh, I just got the
Civil
Jackson
War
video coming up.
It was a major. Oh, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie coochie. I know that whole song.
Yeah.
That's a part of my past. I'm not real.
How can you
proud
fucking
of.
Nail a country song in the first three lines? Down by the river on a Friday night, a pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight, talking about cars and dreaming
about women.
About women. Is that, have they not, has anybody just been like, yeah, do that one again? I mean, change the,
have
change
you listened
a little.
To modern country music lately?
I
it
have, but I am.
Absolute horseshit.
But I am just amazed that, like, to never diversify the subject matter. Like, at all.
No.
Never. Yeah, but don't you goddamn.
Dirt if it
roads,
ain't broke, don't fix it.
Dirt roads, trucks, pretty girls, American flags, cold beer. That's all we need.
And, hey, maybe name drop Aaron Tippin while you're there.
Yeah.
Anybody thought about,
I wish.
Anybody
Aaron Tippin
about
was good.
Smoking weed? Get out of here, you goddamn pinko hippie.
But, see, it's like what you got is, like, you got these, like, I guess for lack of a better term, you got these hacks.
Uh-huh.
And they will, like, name drop
it
in
is.
Their songs.
I know.
They'll
I
name drop,
surprised.
Like, good guys like Tippin or somebody else, and
oh,
be like,
Johnny Cash.
I like the good stuff.
Yeah,
but
you like
listen
Johnny
to this,
Cash. That's
like,
why you
listen
wrote.
To this beat, this synthesizer beat that every country song has.
I guess
now.
Just the that's idea the that worst. Hack does not translate to music as well. You know, the idea of like a hack comic.
You mean like the general public's not aware? Like, hey, that
yeah, like
no,
nope, give me that one again. Give me that. But this is my fault for thinking that. Oh, everybody thinks this is great. Like, no, it's background noise. Yeah. She's like, hip-hop's always just like,
well,
same thing.
It's
I got
background
money.
Noise to some, but some people fucking love it.
Some people
it
live for it.
They're stupid.
Well,
you
once in a while, you
got to
do one for the troops, and then everybody can't talk shit about the song. About the troops.
All right, so anyway.
I'm sorry.
Chattahoochee, Florida.
So it's got all this. So it's got all this really interesting, crazy background and history of the area with the Creek Indian as well, and the woman who lives on the property, she's part Creek Indian in her heritage. She's also Rh negative bloodline.
What does that mean?
Which is, it's a very rare blood type.
Okay.
That some people speculate.
I don't even know my blood type, by the
way. I don't know mine either. Yeah. But some people speculate it is of unearthly origin. Because women with Rh negative blood type typically have a hard time getting pregnant.
Uh-huh.
Unless, I could be wrong on this, but unless the man is also Rh negative.
Okay.
And it's a very rare blood type. Anyway, so. Mm. Like I'm like the paranormal guy brought into this documentary on the team. It's mostly just Bigfoot people.
And so
like,
what's the guy making the documentary again? What's his name?
Ed Brown.
Okay.
Yeah, and
so
Ed's a great guy. I love Ed.
He brings you in.
He brings me in, and he brings me in a part of the team with a guy out of Oregon who's a Bigfoot guy who's great. I got along with all these people so well. His name's Dan Lindholm, and he's written a couple books, like memoir type books, and he's amazing. He's such a cool guy. And so Dan Lindholm's there. This other Bigfoot guy, David Wright, who's from Florida, is there. And then I'm like the paranormal guy because this property has, you know, Bigfoot, UFO, unknown, uncategorized things. Also, like disembodied voices in the home, like spirit, ghost stuff happening.
This is the place that's in Chattahoochee.
This is the place. You were down. This is where I was for 5 days and five nights.
Kind of like a Florida Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh. Yeah, that's exactly how it was sold.
I was confusing your ghost hunt that you did with Karen.
Oh, the Orange County thing. No, that was right before I left.
Yeah, he's got a couple of cool projects.
Okay,
going
on. I was like, oh, okay, sorry.
And so, yeah, that was a cool place, the Waffle House down in Orange County. That's called the Dr. Howell Waffle. The guy's name was Waffle, so they call it Waffle House.
Haunted Waffle House, yeah, Dave. Right? We've been doing this for 4 years. Well, we brought him to Haunted Waffle House.
Well, I got excited that there was a Waffle House in Orange County.
I was going to buy you this hat. It just looks like the logo for Waffle House, but in the squares it says Denny's sucks.
Yeah. And all the EVPs you get from the place, you say, scattered, smothered. So I go down there, right?
Truck driver half dying in the bathroom, that's all.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
There's like so much going on in this place, and I'll have to be careful about what I can say and what I can't say because, like I said, it's not my project. But I get down there, and I'm really excited about being there. I'm supposed to be camping out on the property in my tent.
When is this? How long ago?
This was a week and a half ago.
Okay, so recently.
This was from June 7th through the 12th.
Okay.
Is when I was there.
Okay.
And so
2 weekends ago.
Yeah, it's actually the night of the thing is actually it's exactly a week ago right now.
Okay.
When this thing happened. And so we're there and we're getting all kinds of great evidence and like things, and I'm like in a crash course on, you know, cryptozoology and looking for Bigfoot, because also there's three security guys, because part of the stipulation of being on the property and being able to film documentary from the homeowners was you have to have armed security with you at all times.
Really?
You can never be alone on the property. There's another research team that comes there quite regularly, and they told her, they said, you should never let anyone be here by themselves.
And this is the team you can't speak
to. This is the team I can't really talk about. Okay. So
Is this a house? Is it a ranch?
This is a house on about 30 acres of land out in the middle of nowhere.
Of any kind of purpose for the land, purpose-built farm?
Just like a home.
Ex-plantation
kind of stuff?
Just a home
that has been kind of ravaged by Hurricane Michael last fall.
Okay.
Lots of trees destroyed everywhere. But
flat, mountainous?
Very, very hilly.
Okay.
Very hilly. And
Water?
Yeah. There's a creek that runs through the property.
Florida, Georgia, Seminole nearby, I'm seeing.
Yeah, so you've got a water source, which most people would say, you know, Bigfoot needs a water source close by. Anyway, you have total coverage of tree coverage, and it's pitch black out there because it's the country, and there's no light pollution. And there's a place called the Sugar Shack, which is a shed built on the property, not just down this little sandy driveway, down a small hill from the house. Mm-hmm. And it's a shed that was converted into just a sleeping space. So
it's behind the house or in front of the house?
It's kind of like to the side of the house.
Okay.
Down this little sandy driveway. It's about a 2-minute walk up the sandy driveway to get to the house. So I'm staying in the Sugar Shack with Ed Brown. The three security guards who are there, and two of them are law enforcement guys. One's like a wildlife game guy. Another one's like a SWAT team guy. Another guy is like kind of like a weapons guy.
Yeah.
They're from Sacramento. And then you've got so they're staying in a hotel just in town. And so Ed and I are sleeping in the Sugar Shack. He's sleeping on a recliner chair. I'm sleeping in like a bed that's in there. Mm-hmm. And that's all that's in there. There's no room for anything else. And there's one tiny window. And in the first few nights, the first three nights, I sleep in there because Carolyn, who is the wife of Bill, who lived there, she's like, you're not sleeping in a tent by yourself outside. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, you can't do that. And so I go into the
Because the ominous forces are like gators, natural kind of thing.
Because of all kinds of, but all of the above, yeah. Okay. So, and, you know, once you hear like some of the stories out of her mouth about things people have experienced on this property.
Such as
like grown men who are like military hunters type guys who come out there looking for Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. They'll hear something and it'll reduce them to tears and they will immediately leave the property. Hmm. Like that kind of scary level stuff. Like we're talking like men's men type, you know, guys. And I have a pretty feminine energy if people haven't noticed. Yeah, so do. I'm not like a man's
breastfeeding
man.
A baby. Yeah. In this story.
So I'm connecting with Carolyn pretty well because she comes from a long line of witches and I'm into magic and I've been practicing
magic.
Don't
gloss over that.
No, yeah.
She comes from a long line of witches.
Like very holistic, green, like earth.
Really?
Those white witches?
Yeah. And so so she comes from a long line of that. And not to mention, allegedly, the Maravidian bloodline, which is Jesus and Mary Magdalene, which she was told by a different research team that she has that blood, not the arch negative blood. Anyway, it's like...
Well, she had to pay extra for her 23andMe, huh?
Right.
Damn.
Yeah. So that's like the deluxe package.
Yeah.
That's where they have someone like hand delivered to you and be like, we need to talk to you about what we found.
What is that called again? What bloodline?
Maravidian. Yeah. And so it's got to be derived from Mary Magdalene. So I'm sleeping in the sugar shack the first three nights. We're out there. We're getting like pretty good evidence of weird stuff, you know, tracks, structures, things like that, thermal images on
can we
a thermal scope.
This Maravidian bloodline?
Yeah. Is it, what'd you find? I haven't really looked it up yet.
Well, we got some.
Now, Mary Magdalene, it's like royal that blood wasn't too. Mother Mary, was it?
That's Mary. That's Jesus' mother.
Okay, that's right.
She was a virgin, remember? When God impregnated her.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But Mary Magdalene was like the whore that Jesus was like friends with.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Mary Magdalene was not Jesus' mom.
No.
Yeah, that's what I... Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Mary Magdalene, many people believe, was his wife.
Okay.
And, you know...
Yikes. This, yeah, it doesn't... it's looking like... I think it's... You're supposed... It's the Antichrist will have... Maravinian would be of a Maravinian bloodline. Merovingian.
Oh yeah, so maybe I was wrong about the
not Maravidian, but Merovingian.
Oh, is it from like the is it an English royalty bloodline?
Yeah,
that's what it is, because she's derived from like King Henry or something, or some, but like the bastard child, because like he had sex with his wife's sister or something and had a couple bastard kids. She's from there, I think.
And what's this lady's name again? I'm sorry.
Her name's Carolyn.
Carolyn and Bill.
They live there, and they're the most normal, lovable people you'll ever meet in your
life.
How
old are they?
They're probably, if I had to guess, they're in their early 60s.
Okay.
And so
it does tie in. There's stuff that comes about the Rh negative bloodline and everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this. So, all
right. Yeah. So there's like a lot going on this property or in these people, right? And they've been living there for 17 years. And people will often ask, well, why don't they move if so much crazy stuff's happening? And the answer is she's been told by these other people that it doesn't matter where you go, these things are going to follow you.
Did she tell you any stories that she personally has witnessed? Any crazy
shit? We're talking multiple times where orbs, all kinds of orbs have shown up on their back deck when they're hanging out with people.
Uh-huh.
Her and her husband have seen a creature. And they're called creatures and or monsters and Bigfoot or whatever. There's a portal on their property, allegedly.
That's like the whole Skinwalker Ranch thing.
There's a portal on the property.
And like anything's.
And she's been told that she also created an additional portal to protect her from the things coming out of the portal that's already there.
So she's seen Bigfoot on her property.
She has seen a creature that many people would say is Bigfoot, probably, yes.
But like... Not just seen Eyeshine or something, but
she's seen Eyeshine. But she's also seen the way it's described to. There's one story where, like, they see this creature like on all fours, which you like moving like a spider, but it's gigantic, like 9 feet tall. That's how big it is, but it's kind of in just gyrating back and forth, and so they've had like many terrifying like auditory experiences. Uh-huh. She has a lot more than Bill. And
does Bill have any of his background?
I don't think so. Bill's just like kind of a big guy who's
just a union rep.
Yeah, he's He's actually a really cool guy. He's a architect.
Uh-huh.
She didn't tell me about the witch shit till after we got married. Well,
there's so much about this
too
woman.
Far now.
This woman is like unbelievable. Like, there's this book called PK Man, written by this guy Dr. Jeffrey Mishlove, who's got like the only doctorate degree in parapsychology. And the subject of the book is this guy named Ted Owens, who's now died, who apparently he said his telekinesis, his psychokinesis could control the weather and all this other kind of stuff. And he kept trying to prove it to everybody. He was shouting at anybody who would listen.
Gotta be and, leery of those folks. Are
yeah, but
it.
Like this woman is like, she's like that level of kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And
but humble about it.
But she's the total opposite of Ted Owens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the fourth night, fourth day and the fourth night, we go back to a location where we caught images on a thermal scope. The guy who's head of security, he's a wildlife and fish guy, so he's all about, he knows how to track animals, he knows all that. He's got this like $4,000 or $5,000 thermal imaging scope. And we're going back to the area during the daytime where we saw it the night before. I had done a paranormal investigation with Dan Lindholm in this abandoned log cabin the previous night, and we didn't really pick up any paranormal activity in the house. And we went out. I was like, let's go around the house. And we went outside. I tried to call in orbs. He thought he saw an orb. We think it was a headlight coming down the road.
What do you mean when you say you tried to call in orbs?
I just kind of said like, hey, if there's any spirits or entities or energy here in this house or around this house that wants to show itself to us in the form of orbs, we'd love to see you in the form of an orb.
You have to have a license for that, or can anybody?
That's
just
a freelance. I'm a freelance orb caller.
I
just
think about what kind of ghost is like, orbs, man. I don't have orb powers.
I could be a shadow person, but I can't be an orb.
Yeah, man, I was gonna make the lights go on and off for you.
Interrupt real quick. Didn't you tell me? Did you see something on a trail cam?
Oh, that's the. I did see something on a trail, but not our trail cam. One of the guys brought some video. That's
from
the craziest Bigfoot video I've ever, like trail cam video I've ever seen. It's from a government camera.
Oh, okay. I thought when you
this
told
government
me this the
camera
first time.
Footage I saw has what appears to be an ape-like creature bringing leaves to cover up a trail cam. You don't never see its head, but you see its body. You see the skin, the hair, and this is a trail cam that was set up in a location where the government was trying to shut down cartel weed growers. Out in the middle of nowhere, right? So it was what I was told roughly, if I can remember the details, it's a 20-minute drive or 20-mile drive in like all-wheel drive vehicle. And then from there, it's a 5-mile ATV quad drive through trails. And then once you get to the end of the trail, then it's a 2-mile hike on foot where this trail cam was set up. And it's the best footage I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, it's pretty private.
Okay.
It's not like a video that's really out there. Yeah. So,
I misunderstood. So this wasn't at this property.
That was like it's like a government property video kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so,
so you're out there. You're calling.
And then Dan Lindholm hears what he says is a bipedal creature, a two-legged creature, run off from pretty close to us through this field, and it's pitch dark out, so we can't really see anything. So
did you hear it?
I did not hear it. I was not next to him at the time. And so then a few of us go start chasing it. You know, and the guy's got their guns with them, and they got their flashlights. I've got my night vision camera. And then that's when the other guys, Dan Butler, who was up top, he catches an image on a thermal scope. That's when he catches, like, the head of a creature that was estimated the next day when we went out and measured where we found it, somewhere at least 9 feet tall and 12 inches wide in the head. So some pretty cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
So the next night, Carolyn says, because I wanted to do a paranormal investigation inside their house. And I've been talking to her the whole time about it. And because they'd heard voices in the house before, and like they've caught them on audio and stuff. Like there's some kind of voice calling her dog at one point when no one's home, and you see the dog come over to where the voice was.
Wow.
So pretty cool stuff. And so she goes, I want Ryan to do a paranormal investigation in the house by himself. He's got a different energy than everybody else. That's what she told Ed. And I'd been like meat free, sugar free, all that kind of stuff leading up to it and during the whole time I was there to try to like have my third eye opened up and have my antenna going.
Not a lot of pollutants in you.
Yeah. And so I get in there, I do a 2-hour investigation inside the house. I don't really find anything. The only thing I understand is that this place is locked down. Like there's like spiritual, like Fort Knox in this place. She's got this place fucking airtight. You know what I mean? So I tell her that.
Well, no, how do you, like she's done enough in there to
Yeah, I mean, she's doing
not,
all... Yeah.
Not let things in?
Yeah. Like, where it doesn't... Even if there is something in there, it's not bad. It's like, this is a safe space in this house, right?
Okay.
Like, this is a good, safe space.
Gotcha.
And so what happens is, I'm talking to her afterwards, her and Bill, who were in their own bedroom, in their bedroom, while I was doing the house investigation.
What kind of house is this?
It's a ranch.
Uh-huh.
Four-bedroom, or three- or four-bedroom ranch. Not okay. Huge.
Yeah.
Nice, real nice back deck. It's got like a sitting area adjacent to the house with a fire pit.
This whole area around Chattahoochee looks pretty heavily forested.
Yeah, it's very forested.
It's a Florida-Georgia line. Sorry.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But the actual geographic location. It's right there, and it's all like just from a Google terrain map.
There's wild pigs in the area.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it looks
there's Florida panther. There's bear. There's all kinds of things out
there. Yeah, it looks hilly and wooded. All right.
So... What happens is I go and do that. We're talking afterwards, and I told her, I was like, I only got one EMF reading in this whole house, and it was from your wireless router. And she goes, interesting. Oh, you didn't go to the bedroom. You should bring the meter into the bedroom. So I go into the bedroom with Bill and Carolyn, and I kind of sweep the room, and I'm going to all the spots. I'm not picking up anything. And she goes, oh, don't forget this spot right where I walked in. Mm-hmm. On the wall, there's like a 3-by-2-foot rectangle mirror hanging on the wall. And below it, in front of the wall, is a small wooden nightstand with a decorative glass-domed clock that's battery-powered. Yeah. I bring up the EMF, the Mel meter, which has the EMF in it, and there's a reading. Yeah. Steady and hold steady. And I'm like, this is interesting, but it could be this clock, right?
Yeah.
I'm about 2 feet above the clock. Let's go to the wireless router. I'll get the reading from the router, and then I'll move up 2 feet and see if that still reads. So yeah. I do that, and it goes to zero on the wireless router. So we go back into the room, and I go, okay, can you please remove the clock? So now it'll just be a wooden table and a mirror on the wall. She does that. The reading doesn't change. Holds steady. And I'm like, this is really interesting. Something's going on right here. And I look at her, and she's just got this sly grin on her face. I was like, what's going on? And she's like, you know, born in southern Alabama, lives in northern Florida. So she's like, that's where I do my prayers.
Yeah.
That's where I do my magic. And I was like, are you serious? And she goes, yep, this is where I do my magic every day. And I was like, what direction is this facing? And she said, east. And she goes, yep, that's my altar. And then she said something that was so cool to me. And she goes, you notice how there's nothing on it? And I go, yeah. And she goes, that's the trick about altars. You don't need anything on them. All the magic's inside you.
Hmm.
And I was like, holy shit. Because I got this magic podcast I've been doing for like 4 or 5 months. And so I'm like so into magic now. And then it's like my altar is all geared up. You know what I mean? And then after talking to her, I'm like, this is the most powerful witch I've ever met in my life. And she's got nothing on her altar. Like, it's so cool.
You fell for the merchandising aspect.
I got sucked into witch capitalism.
Yeah. Been buying all the doodads.
Yeah. And so it's pretty funny because we're just hanging out, talking, having a good time. And I'm like in the best mood I've been in the whole time. And I was in a good mood the whole time because it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And it was terrifying at night when I tried to sleep in the sugar shack, but I wasn't hearing stuff, anything like that. And then Ed and David Wright, who was staying at the house in one of the guest rooms because he's like a longtime friend of the family, come back from their Bigfoot, investigating Bigfoot in the spot again at night from where we were the night before.
You didn't go with them on that one?
No, because I was doing the house.
Okay.
And the rule of the documentary was you're never allowed to be alone. You always have to have someone with you. And if not someone, you have to have, preferably one of the armed guys with you for safety. And so I kind of was in this like solo mindset because I broke off and did a parallel, the investigation by myself in the house.
I was going to say, under whose rules was it to be with someone?
It's the home, Carolyn and Bill.
Okay. Did they?
They said, like, you can't do the documentary if people are going to be wandering around by themselves out here.
What was, like, is that for their own liability's sake or did they have?
Well, probably a little bit of that, but also because they've been clearly instructed to not let people do that by a different research team, which is a research team that is out there all the time, regularly.
Pause it real quick.
I saw your hand gesture. Now it just sounds bad on the podcast.
I'm sorry.
So
we've been unpaused. Oh shit.
Yeah. A little bit of oh shit right there.
Knowing all these details and like knowing these stories you hear about grown men being reduced to like weeping children and things like that who are heavily armed at the time. I'm taking all
nothing
of the
like
very
a crying man with a firearm.
Yeah, right.
Nothing makes me feel safer.
It'd be even better if he just had like camo paint on his face. Yeah. It's smearing, it's smudging. And so I'm taking all this very seriously.
I think she thinks I camouflaged my heart. She says she can't find it no more.
Good, can't protect my heart.
What is it called? It's called
trying to shoot away the sands.
What's it called? The camo styles. It's
Realtree.
Oh, is it that or like the patterns?
Mossy oak.
Yeah,
Mossy oak's double vented thunderjack caribou rain. That's a good one.
So. I forget where we were. Oh, so anyway, David and Ed Brown come back up to the house. They're giving a recap to Carolyn, myself, and about what had happened over there. And so then Carolyn's like, it's like 12, a little after midnight. Carolyn's like, I'm going to go to bed. And this is Monday night. So a week ago from while we're recording this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and then Carolyn looks at me and she goes, you know what? You need to continue your paranormal investigation here at the house, because they'd had family there all week. Since we'd been there, like a bunch of different people, and they'd finally all cleared out. So she goes, you know, this one guest room is now open, and we call it the dream chamber because people have the craziest dreams of their life in this one room in the house.
Wow.
And so if you want to sleep in that room tonight, you can, to continue your investigation. I was like, okay, let's do it. I just need to go down to the Sugar Shack, pick up my notebook so I can write down what, if I wake up from some crazy shit, I need to be able to write it down real quick. Yeah. And plus my toothbrush and stuff.
Now, how far again is the Sugar Shack from the main house?
It's a 2-minute walk down this sandy little windy driveway.
So what,
the downhill.
100 yards, 200 yards?
Yeah, I'd say it's about 100 yards, 125 yards maybe. And door to door. And so...
Any lighting, any driveway lighting?
There is a front porch light on their house, but that's it. There's no lighting down the driveway or by the Sugar Shack.
I had relatives that had like a house out in Georgia, and that's all you saw. Like, oh, we're just going to get to that house, and you just saw house lights. And then everything else around you was pitch black.
Yeah.
And I would get in my, like, I was like 18 when I was down there, but I had like anything you bumped into or heard move, you're like, what? Oh, no. Oh, by the way, there's an electric fence out there, too. Oh, God damn it. Every branch I bumped into, I'm like, I'm dying.
And it gets dark out there. Like,
oh.
Where I grew up in Waleska, Georgia, we had 4 acres, but then there were 50 acres near us that was unoccupied. So essentially, our house was on 50 acres and just like pitch black at night.
And all you can hear is like the locusts.
The locusts, the crickets. All kinds of
some
crazy.
Some people will never know that.
Yeah, it's a crazy experience. Just, yeah.
Like, even suburbs where you got streetlights and everything, like, I didn't know that that kind of darkness could exist.
Dark,
like, oh, it's nighttime.
And
you
creepy.
Still, it's like, no, you got streetlights. Like, oh, but we'll go into the forest preserve. Fucking, you hear the highway. You see the, you know. Yeah.
And one of the interesting details that Carolyn had told us at the beginning of the week was she'd be like, you hear them locusts? And we'd be like, yeah. She goes, they'll go quiet when a predator's around.
Really?
She's
really?
Like, they all go quiet. So if you don't hear the bugs at night, something's out there.
Oh, right? Shit.
Well, or they'll go quiet if anything's out there.
I mean, they weren't quiet with us out there. But yeah. But if something comes through, they're gonna shut up. So, like, she told us that earlier, and I didn't really remember it. And so... she's going to bed. Ed's like, okay, we'll go down to the Sugar Shack. I'm going to go grab my stuff.
What time of night is this?
A little after midnight.
Okay.
So it's pitch black out. The locusts are out there, I guess. Honestly, I don't remember if I heard the locusts on the way back down to the Sugar Shack because I wasn't thinking about it. And Ed and I were talking about what the plan was for the next day.
Uh-huh.
What are we going to try to shoot? We're going to go back to the portal area where we'd set up some trail cams and all this other kind of stuff, right? And we're walking down, having a good time talking. 2 minutes later, we're in the Sugar Shack. And I pick up my notebook, my phone charger, my toiletry bag or whatever, and I'm getting ready to walk, and a flashlight. Mm-hmm. And so I walk out of the door of the Sugar Shack.
So I'm Ed's staying.
He's going to sleep down there. Stay down there.
You're doubling back to the house.
And I'm doubling back to the house to go to the dream chamber. And so I walk out of the door. I'm getting ready to walk off this tiny little porch that they have built onto it. And Ed looks at me and he goes, hey, be careful. Mm. And I was like, that's weird. He hasn't said that to me once this whole time. I was like, oh, okay, sure.
Like sincerely or like
kind of
joking?
Sincerely said it to me. And I was like, it's a 2-minute walk up to the house. Why is he being a weirdo? So I was like, sure. And I walk off the porch of the Sugar Shack. I take a couple steps. I hear the door close behind me. It's like these thick wooden walls and this thick wooden door. You can deadbolt it from the inside.
Yeah.
And so he closes it, and every time you close it, you have to deadbolt it, or it kind of opens up a little bit. Oh. So I'm sure he deadbolted it. And there's a window unit AC in there, too. There's actually two tiny windows in that thing. And one of them just filled up completely with a AC unit, and it's really loud. And so I walk off the patio, and I start taking a left to start walking up this sandy driveway. And it's totally pitch black except for my flashlight. And then from about 30 feet or about 30 yards directly behind me and like slightly to the behind and to the side of the sugar shack, I heard the fucking scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. I heard what the closest thing I've heard is the Sierra Screams on, if you listen to the Sierra Screams on YouTube.
We did an episode about that. Yeah.
And it was so loud that even though it came from behind me, it felt like it blew the hair back of my face.
Yeah.
Like, and
just one long screech, or
it
was what?
It lasted about 1.5-2 seconds long. And
like,
it
guttural
was
or high pitched?
High pitched. It had like vibrato. It was bumpy. It wasn't like one tone. It was like a like that, or like I can't even do it. Yeah. Like, but it was high pitched. It was bumpy. It wasn't smooth, and it was directed right at me. And I turn my head instinctually right when the noise starts to look back at where it's coming from, and I realize, holy fuck, I'm dead. Right, I'm dead. Like instant awareness that there is no chance. I am like the bottom rung on the food chain at this point. And I, earlier in the day, the head of security, Dan, told us that the code word for, you know, when we're seriously in trouble, no joking around, was the word avalanche. And if we ever yelled the word avalanche, those guys would show up with their guns out ready to shoot something.
Yeah.
And it's like that, don't yell avalanche unless you mean it kind of thing. And so I want to yell all simultaneously in this moment. I want to yell Ed because he's there. And I wanted to warn him, but I also didn't want him to open the door once I start yelling Ed, because I don't want him being even closer.
Right there, yeah.
And so then I'm doing that simultaneously where I want to yell for Ed, but then I realize I don't want to yell for Ed. And at the same time I'm doing that, I'm making the same noise where I'm yelling the beginnings of the word avalanche.
So you made the exact same sound back at the creature.
Basically. But then I'm also realizing that I can't yell avalanche because there is no avalanche. Those guys are back at the hotel already.
Yeah.
I'm out here by myself. The first time in 4 days I'd ever been alone on the property at nighttime, and it fucking gets me in the first 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That was the first time you were alone the whole time?
At night on the property, outside. The first time outside. And so I yell and like I whimper. It's like a yell, scream, whimper I let out, like, ah, no. Right? And then I immediately turn. I start running as fast as I can up this driveway. And it's a sandy driveway, and I'm running as fast as I can. I'm shaking to near death. Because in my mind, I know this is the end for me. Like, I don't stand a chance. Like,
what do you think it is in the moment? In the moment, are you like,
it's a Sasquatch.
Really?
But isn't the whole idea these are benign creatures, and when people see them, they're not afraid because there's an energy to them?
Not when you talk to Carolyn.
Well, here's the thing with that.
Okay.
Not when you talk to the people that have had experiences out here on this house.
These are not.
These are not your friends.
Like any other species, there's different branches and different subspecies.
I've
been doing a lot of Bigfoot reading lately. And they think there's as many as like 5 or 6 just in North America.
This is methed out Florida Bigfoot.
Yes. This isn't, you know, seriously.
This thing
like,
wasn't saying hello. This thing was saying, you're my food.
Yeah, the big, the traditional ones like Patty up in the Northwest, like the Patterson-Gimlin one. Yeah. Some of those have been reported to be kind of, you know, not jolly, but like kind of shy and, hey, don't mess with me, I won't mess with you. But then there's others like the Wood Boogers and the Florida skunk ape that are more aggressive.
So this would be a skunk ape, maybe, because we're in Florida. But I'll tell you, in the moment, like,
their experiences were like, no,
oh, yeah, and I heard a scream, and luckily she talks about there's a few people out there, and this is when people really get psychologically messed up.
So, but you immediately
when they hear a growl, there's a growl that has been heard on this property that...
Growls in the darkness just from anything suck.
There's a growl that she heard in the house one time, like from the outside, that when she was home alone, that she thought, because her husband, Bill, sleeps with a CPAP machine, so he can't hear anything when he's sleeping. And she heard a growl at night, and she knew in the moment, this monster is coming in to kill both of them. Like that's what she. That was the message that that growl sent.
Yeah.
It obviously didn't get into the house and kill him because you know obviously. But so I am running up the sandy driveway. I get to the white picket fence. It's got a latch on the gate. I get it open somehow. I close it. Well, before that, I managed somehow to turn my head to look behind me.
Yeah.
To see if I was going to be if I had a chance.
Yeah.
And I turned my head, and. Which is probably the most courageous thing I've ever done in my life was just turning my head 6 inches to the back.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything. I get to the white picket fence. I open the gate. I try to close the gate and I'm struggling. I can't, I'm shaking so bad that I can't get the latch into the hole because I'm thinking, mostly I'm thinking if I leave the gate open subconsciously, that's like a welcoming come in, come follow
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
And then also part of me was like, don't be rude, close the gate. And I get to the front door. Luckily it's unlocked. I get into the house. I lock the front door. And I'm standing there, and David Wright just standing in the kitchen staring at me by the breakfast bar on the other side of the breakfast bar. And just and immediately he's looking at me, and he's just like, what happened to you?
Yeah.
Because I was, he says I was hyperventilating.
Yeah.
And I was like trembling, and all the hair on my entire body was standing up. And then I try to recreate the sound for him real quick. I'm like, I was just out there, I was just out there. You know, I'm like about ready to break down.
Can you do it again for us? Like, really?
Well, it was the closest I can get to it is like, and I'm, this isn't even close, but it's like, high pitched, and it's got that vibrato, like, ah! Like it almost like it was like this evil demon fucking laugh at me. And, but it was directed so, it was so loud and right at me. Cause Ed and I had just walked down that same fucking driveway.
Yeah.
3 minutes before, and it didn't make a noise.
So it was behind the sugar shack. As soon as I'm by myself.
Well, you've got the sugar shack, right? And then let's say if someone's envisioning, listening to this, looking at the sugar shack. From the driveway where I am, the sugar shack is just down to the right. And then if you go just to the left of that and back a little bit, there's a tiny little gully, small little area that dips down. That's where it felt like it was standing.
Okay.
So the sugar shack was halfway between me and this thing. Because people ask me, why did you run back to the sugar shack? Yeah. Like my brother, he's like, why did you run
You're
back to the sugar shack?
It.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm not running towards this thing, man. And then so... And besides, I know the door was locked, so I couldn't even have gotten in. I would have had to bang on the door, and Ed probably would have been freaked out, like, what's going on, what's going on, not open the door.
What did he hear?
Well, so I get up to the house. I make the noise. Carolyn comes out of her bedroom because she thought David was having a stroke or something because she heard some weird noise coming from the kitchen. She's like, David, what is going on? And then she looks at me, and she goes, oh, my God, you saw it, was the first, like, what she said to me. I was like, I didn't see it, but I heard it. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry you had to hear it, baby. I'm so sorry you had to hear it. You know, and, like, she gets it.
Yeah.
Because she understands. Because she would tell people, she's like, you know, people come out here, they look for Bigfoot, and they think it's like, oh, we're going to get evidence of Bigfoot. Yeah. This is going to be great. And she goes, but what they don't understand is when you have this encounter with them, you realize this isn't great.
Yeah, you're going to have PTSD.
Yeah. And so, like, the problem with going to look for Bigfoot is sometimes you might find it. Like
Dave.
You know, so, and I am actually looking into, I'm seeing my doctor hopefully this week, and I'm going to have her recommend. I haven't slept with the lights off yet.
So, like, this is shaking you.
I'm totally shaken. I've experienced a form of fear that I was never aware of before in my entire life.
We talked on the phone a few days ago.
You introduced me to something that I was never familiar with.
And even that trip, you a few days later, you had to drive cross country back home.
Yeah.
You couldn't even, you didn't even like staying in motels.
Well, I stayed, the first night I drove, I stayed at a motel, and I could barely sleep because I was on the first floor. And I just kept looking at the window. So the next night I got the second floor, and I didn't even care there was a dog next to me barking the whole night because at least I'm on the second floor.
A dog's an indicator.
Yeah, right? And so then I'm thinking that, like, why is the dog barking? Why won't the dog shut up? Is there, because, like, Ed says he heard what sounded like a car horn going off. He thought I was going to my car, which was right there. My car was about in the exact area from where this thing would have been, right, roughly. And parked like on the other side of this tiny little fence on the driveway. Yeah. And he thought I went beep, 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 beep or whatever with my car horn to get something out of my car before I went up to the house. And so I call him because Carolyn's like, what about Ed? Is Ed okay? And I was like, oh, shit, we got to call Ed. Yeah. So I call Ed. I was like, oh, my God, I just got yelled at. I just got yelled at. You know, you got to get up here. And he's like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And I was like, you don't understand, man. You don't understand what
I
experienced.
He's right behind you, dude.
Yeah. And I can't blame him because, like, you don't understand until it happens to you. And I never understood. I mean, I intellectually understood how afraid Carolyn has been for over a decade and a half. And how she is, this other research team has put her on a PTSD therapy program that she says has helped her so much that she's able to. She used to never be able to even leave the house because she no longer. She's retired. Used to train police dogs and was a first responder before that. And so she's got her dog with her, so she knows how to read the dog.
I was going
to
say, like, what other animals are on the property that might be?
Well, they,
you ever heard a mountain lion scream?
Yeah.
And it didn't sound anything like that?
No. And there was, like, it wasn't a Florida panther. Yeah, it wasn't a fox. It was something letting me know, hey, motherfucker, I'm right here. You know, and I take solace in the fact that it didn't. I'm not dead. I mean, because it could have killed me if it wanted to.
I'm gonna play a mountain lion scream because I have not heard it, and I'm curious.
They're pretty gnarly.
All right, let's play that right now. Here's a no fucking ad. You fucking fuck you. Sorry. Never keep talking.
And so
here it is. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, right?
If I hear that when I'm camping, I'll bury myself.
When I was about 14, my whole family was waking up in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning, from that sound. And the next day, we found our neighbor's dead boxer down in this gully. So a mountain lion had gotten hold of it.
I hate that we're doing this interview. I got camping equipment all strewn out in the garage. I was getting ready. I'm like, I got to go on a backpacking trip this summer. Now you got to come into my house with this shit?
Well, I'll tell you what.
And I'm listening to mountain lion screams? I'm not doing anything, man.
I've been like obsessed with a mountain house for years now, as you know.
Yeah.
After my first roll of the dice, my one old Yahtzee made me go to Big Bear for the first time.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with the mountains up there. I'm like, I'm going to get a place on Lake Arrowhead. Fuck that, dude. Yeah. I'm living in the city in the penthouse. I am living concrete, surrounded by people.
Yeah. I will not hear, give me your wallet. And if that's the last thing I hear, all right, I chose this path.
Yeah. And like, I am just not, well, I would camp alone. Like on the road, you know, and like a campsite and stuff. Yeah. I was planning right before I will not be doing that anytime soon. And I don't even know. It's going to take me a while before I even am able to camp with other people.
I invited you the other night. You were like, yeah, I don't think so.
Not even close to being able to make that. And like, I went the day after I got back. I was like, I'm not going to be a prisoner to this fear the rest of my fucking life. Right. So I'm like, I'm going to run up to Brand Park during the daytime. And so I ran up there, and then I was like, I'm going to do a mini hike.
I'm just
going to get out into the mini hike. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking a mini hike, which I was on the trail for maybe not even 15 total minutes. And then I heard some kid scream from somewhere at the park, and then I fucking freaked out. And it was just like, I can't do it. I was like, I did it, but I was like, I'm not hiking by myself anytime soon, even if it's the daytime.
You got tweaked out.
I got really tweaked out. I've never understood or been afraid and in such a way. And like, the worst part is, it's like, and we're in comedy and I get it, so people don't believe me. They think I'm pulling their leg, you know, but it's like, and when you believe in any of this kind of weird stuff anyway, and I've experienced this before with like the shapeshifter and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I know what's coming from people.
Yeah. You've got some pretty unbelievable stories.
So when I share my experiences, I already know that I'm going to be subject to relentless, subtle ridicule constantly. Whether it's in the forms of just like making jokes at me, or you know, subtle jokes. Well, I'm just messing with you, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, or whatever. But like, so I know that's coming.
It's still rude, even though it's a joke. It's still rude. But you don't believe me.
But when people don't the shapeshifter stuff is different because I wasn't traumatized. Like, I was like seriously traumatized.
But it's not like you're just somebody passively living your life and things happen to you. You're going out there like. If somebody goes to the beach every day, they're probably going to see a shark. You know, like it's not like, oh, I went to the beach once and I saw a squid and a shark and a whale. And then I saw a shipwreck and I met pirates. Like, no, that's not how the world works. But if you go there every day poking around that's the life you are living, is to not tease these things. You're not malicious, but you want to know and you're curious, then. If it's going to happen to anybody that I know, it's going to be you.
Yeah, and it's like, that's the thing. Like, you know, you're asking for it.
Yeah.
You're definitely asking for it, and I understand that. And I don't know how long it'll be before I go squatching again.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a while before I'm ever squatching at night. Like, some of these guys I was with were, like, some of the, you know, especially the security guys. Like, some of the, like, they're just, like, men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of them even said, I don't want to ever hear the growl because I'm afraid it'll ruin me.
Are they hired to be there, or are they also?
They were hired to be there, but the one guy
but
was
not I want
to
be here.
Well, one of the guys is a huge. He's really into Bigfoot. The guy who's in charge of security, mm-hmm. He's the wildlife game guy. And
what kind of guns did they have? They have pistols or long guns?
They had what is it? A 50?
A 50 cal? Desert Eagle 50 cal?
With 30 rounds?
No,
that held 30 rounds. Like it's all
a giant handgun.
It's like law enforcement issued that like civilians can't even get.
Yeah, that's a gigantic handgun.
Yeah, it was gigantic. And the other guy was a SWAT team guy, mm-hmm. Like trained SWAT teams now. And, kind of guy bust down doors knowing someone's going to try to shoot him. Mm-hmm. He was a total skeptic. And then the next day he's also a master interrogator. Mm-hmm. Like his father is in like the Secret Service, his brother's in the CIA, like their family, he comes from like a long line of like interrogators. So like you could see him throughout the, 5 days we're there, he would be breaking off Carolyn from the group,
yeah.
Or Bill from the group, and just asking them questions, trying to find out if they're lying and stuff. And when he was talking to me the next day after the morning after my experience, I knew he was going to break me off, so I was ready for him.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, time, you ready to break me off?
Yeah.
And so he's talking to me, and he's like looking at my hands as we're talking. You know, he's doing all that, and then he's called me probably 10 times since, because he realized, just to check in on me to make sure I'm okay, and also to give me advice. Him and the other guys were giving me advice on, because the one guy owns a gun shop in Sacramento like area, about what gun to have. So I'm probably going to buy a Glock at some point. Like, I'm never going to be out in the woods again without a gun. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just not. Like, I'm not going to be.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to be unarmed in the woods, for all kinds of reasons. Especially.
Glock 40 cal, those are good.
Well, they were saying the Glock, or whatever they were saying. They're like, we can get you a good deal. He's like, because I'm friends with the guy now who owns the shop. He's like, I'll get you a deal.
I mean, we've talked about that before. Like, I've gone out a couple times, like, backpacking by myself, which is what I thought I was planning today, but now I guess I'm not. But first off, the idea of like a tent, like just psychologically, like, oh, I have a sense of defense because of a tent. But all you're doing is not being able to see whatever's happening.
It's the thinnest layer of veneer that's like.
But the idea that it's like not only shelter, but like, oh, nothing's, they can't see that I'm me, so maybe they won't have interest in what I am. It's like, no, they'll just be next to your tent and you won't know what it is. But the stages of laying there and try like, okay, oh, I heard a noise. It's an animal. It's a Bigfoot. And then you get into that stage of like, oh, yeah, if you wanted to just murder somebody, just be a hiker.
Yeah. And like,
how would anybody ever know if you were just on the Appalachian Trail? Just like, oh, there's somebody biting
somebody himself. Just got attacked with an axe out there. They caught the guy.
That was, I think that was like a transient mentally ill person.
Yeah, I was so afraid that first night, and I slept in the house. I did not sleep in the dream chamber room. I told David Wright, I was like, can you please switch rooms? I can't handle the dream chamber room tonight.
Yeah.
And
I don't want dreams.
So I go into the room that's not the dream chamber. And the bed, the headboard of the bed, is up against the wall that has a window that goes to a wooden walkway ramp on the side of the house. And then you take a right once you get to the top of the ramp, because there's a little gate there. And then on the left wall, if you're laying in bed on your back, is another window that's to the back deck, mm-hmm. where they've had all kinds of things happen on that back deck. And mm-hmm. so I've got the back deck right there to my left, and then right directly behind my head is the walkway wood of the ramp. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know, 3 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, and I hear footsteps that same night. And granted, I'm so in my head at this point, right?
Yeah.
I hear footsteps on that ramp. And they've got, Carolyn has all the windows of their house wood shuttered and locked. So nothing can get in the windows. Because she's like.
So you can't see out.
You can't see out. And it's wooden, locked, thick wood shutters, right? And so I can hear footsteps. I was so afraid that my Fitbit thought I was asleep, because I was frozen in fear for hours. That like the next day I was like, did I sleep at all? I don't think I slept at all. I didn't sleep until the sun came up. Yeah. I looked at my Fitbit sleep thing and it said, oh, you slept from 3:30 until 6:10 a.m. Yeah. And I was like, no, I didn't. I was frozen.
I was petrified.
I was like, literally, I did not move. And when I've camped by myself,
Fitbit could call the cops.
Yeah, right. Before, when I'd camp by myself, I'd be like hearing something like, oh, it's an animal. Oh, it's a Bigfoot. Oh, it's a person going to kill me. Yeah. Whatever. I would like any. I could just get on porn on my phone, and that would distract me. Nothing like
someone's gonna kill me. Let me look.
Yeah,
I'm going out stroking.
So, but porn was always able to distract me in the past.
Yeah,
I could not do anything except look that. At my. I the only thing I could do was look at my ex girlfriend's Instagram to find some kind of anchor in reality.
But it is a like, good, you know, are sense engaging of normalcy. An opposite part of your brain.
Yeah,
like it's easy to make fun of that, but I could see like porn being like, as far as just I'm a dumb dude, but like. Fucking, you might die, tits. And yeah, then right. You're like, yeah, all right.
Because but you can't like get turned on unless you feel healthy. And
no,
strong
like,
and all
like
that
it's
stuff.
Either one or the other. Like one part has to. You can't be terrified with a boner. It doesn't work. Like that.
Yeah.
Very idea of an erection is that you're comfortable, and it's like, can I come out? Yeah, is it okay? And then anytime you're scared, it's just back in your body. Like fuck this. A boner is the most chicken shit. Part of your body, you know, like I'm getting out of here, man. Like, it's rough.
Oh man,
but it's so true though. You can't.
But so
can't.
I like what a calming.
What so if would, that's what how? What if that did happen every time you got terrified?
That you got a boner?
Yeah,
you'd be really messed up.
I can't get off. I think I'm gonna die.
Back right before nobody could ever make rape jokes ever again.
Yeah.
I used to like just on purpose at the beginning of my set would just try to make the worst jokes. If like it was a bad show or whatever, I'm like, I'll just try. To I'd be like, rape. Oh, I could barely keep it up when the chick's into it, man. Now she's all like scratching and punching at me. That thing's out of there. Yeah, I know. I'm not like, whatever. Fucking give me the, make all the comments you want on that.
You've got
I'm
the
not,
email
I'm not saying it's a good joke. I'm just saying it was a joke.
Yeah.
But yeah, the idea that like, oh yeah, fucking, oh, I got a boner now. All the blood that was raging in my fear sensors is now in my dick. I guess we're all right. Come it at would, me, Barry. Be... You might try, you can eat me, but I'm going to try and fuck you first.
Oh my God.
Do you like white meat or hard meat?
Those aren't the two kinds.
Oh, wait, those aren't the two kinds? There's, I guess on this body, those are the only two kinds.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.